My guest at this time is former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton. He joins us to take a look back at the year in review with respect to foreign policy. So for the next few moments, we will discuss what he sees as the bright spots and the tough moments on the international stage in 2017. And Mr. Ambassador, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, glad to be with you.
You have applauded a number of major decisions President Trump made this year, even though the media oftentimes and many of his political opponents condemn the moves. I'm thinking specifically of Trump announcing America's intention to pull out of the Paris Climate Accords, decertifying the Iran nuclear agreement, and recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Which of those, or perhaps another, do you think was most significant?
Well, I think that the broad question is what approach Trump has had to America's place in the world. And I think it has been very much in the mainstream of conservative Republican thinking. That may upset some of his supporters and some of his opponents, but the fact is it's been a responsible foreign policy. It's corrected so many mistakes from the Obama administration. There's still a lot to do, but I think in particular, I think Trump's view of the threat posed by Iran and North Korea's nuclear weapons program is probably the most important. Now, there's, as I say, a lot still to do on those, but decertify the Iran nuclear deal and the very tough line he's taken with respect to North Korea, I think are very important. And it's going to those issues are going to be challenges in the coming 12 months, and a lot will ride on the success of American policies.
Let me follow up on North Korea, because that's certainly what seems to be the most imminent challenge, certainly the one getting the most attention, the nuclear North Korea and an increasingly competent North Korea in terms of its technology and its delivery capability. How serious do you think the threat is right now, and what did Trump do right on the issue, and what could he have done better?
Well, you know, CIA Director Mike Pompeo said some time back that North Korea could be within months of getting the capability to hit the United States with thermonuclear warheads carried by ballistic missiles. Now, we don't know exactly. That's part of the problem. Our intelligence is far from perfect. But there's simply no doubt, and I don't think there's any serious dispute, that the next 12 months we're going to have to make a very important, very hard, very unpleasant decision whether we allow North Korea to have this capability to be able to threaten us from now as far as the eye can see, threaten Japan, threaten South Korea, and sell that capability to anybody with enough money to pay, to Iran, to ISIS or Al-Qaeda, to other aspiring nuclear weapons states, or whether military force is going to have to be used. This isn't a choice that President Trump wanted to make. Nobody wants to make it. It's unattractive, whichever option you pick. But it's a consequence of 25 years of failure on the part of American foreign policy. We're very nearly at the stage where our ability to stop the proliferation of nuclear weapons will have failed irretrievably, and that's not a happy place to be. But it's going to be in the Trump administration, I think, where these key decisions are made. So I think all of us in the new year are going to have to be thinking about what we think is best for the country.
Let me quickly ask you about an issue that developed here at the very end of the year, and that's the UN trying to throw its weight around with the American decision to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. The U.S. has said it'll take names and remember which Security Council members want to prevent us from making our own sovereign decisions about things like that. Does that at all risk straining relations with the likes of Egypt, which brought forward the resolution? Or is that more of a matter of domestic politics that Egypt is doing and is probably not going to affect the alliance very much?
Well, there's always a certain amount of risk, but I think that much of what's going on here at the United Nations, in the Security Council, in the General Assembly, is pure theater. A lot of it attuned, as you say, to their country's respective domestic political circumstances. But that's why I think the president's announced reaction to these votes is so important, that we will look at who voted against us and that there will be consequences for those votes. For too long, countries had a completely free hand at the United Nations. They could denounce the United States. They could attack our allies. They could vote against us. It was all cost-free to them. So it shouldn't be any surprise to us that their behavior, in many respects, was just purely irresponsible. I think if the president follows through and says we are going to make sure there are consequences. It's a potential game changer, and not just directed at the countries that vote the wrong way, but to use this as a wedge for substantial change in the way we fund the United Nations itself. A lot of this reaction wouldn't exist but for the forum of the United Nations. So a very, very interesting discussion lies ahead on that point, too.
Mr. Ambassador, it probably tells you what kind of year it's been that we're at question five or six in this interview, and this is the first time we're mentioning the fact that ISIS, effectively the state, as it liked to call itself, the land area in Iraq and Syria, was essentially eradicated this year as a result of Iraqi forces, U.S. help, of course, on the ground. There was some Iranian militias there. The Kurds obviously deserve a lot of credit here. How significant is that, and what do you expect to be the follow-up in the coming year in that region?
Well, it's a very significant victory. It was critical to eliminate the physical caliphate that ISIS had set up. It doesn't mean that the ISIS terrorist threat is eliminated. We saw that in New York, sadly, even during the Christmas holidays, and I'm sure we're going to see other examples of it as well. But to deny ISIS that base of operations, very, very important. It just means now the war on terrorism moves into a different phase. But you're quite right. You know, this is something that the mainstream media have just refused to give Donald Trump much credit for, and it's credit he deserves. I think the next question in the region is how to deal with Iran, making sure that they're not empowered by the defeat of ISIS to extend their control, as they're trying to do with some success, through Iraq, through Assad's regime in Syria, through Hezbollah in Lebanon, all the way to the Mediterranean.
Mr. Bolton, this is the first president in history, I believe, who held no previous political office or military rank. So given what you know about the complexities of foreign policy, how steep of a learning curve did he have, and how did he do in getting up to speed, in your estimation?
Well, I think he had a tremendous challenge because of the circumstances that were left to him by Obama. And I think, as I say, I put nuclear proliferation right at the center of the threats we face. There are other broader strategic threats from Russia and China over the next decades. But right now, that proliferation threat combined with terrorism is right at the top, and he has zeroed in on it better than anybody else in his administration. He understands the seriousness of the nuclear threat. Obviously, he understands the terrorist threat, and he's determined to address them. So that's in addition to doing what is critical to be done to rev up the domestic economy, and his national security statement just published makes that clear, too. You can't have a strong American presence in the world without a strong domestic economy, and vice versa. So I think he's off to a good start.
In addition to finally deep-sixing once and for all the Iran nuclear agreement in 2018, what other concrete steps do you think would be most effective in confronting that proliferation and terrorism nexus in Iran?
Well, we've got to resolve the nuclear threat. And, you know, the president said in his General Assembly speech that denuclearization is the only way forward for North Korea. I think that's right. So we either need China to step up or some dramatic development like the regime in North Korea collapsing, reunifying with South Korea, or we're going to face a real crisis there that actually will turn out, I think, in the sweep of history to be even more important than reversing the Iran nuclear deal.
And finally, sir, you mentioned his team, diplomatic team. Nikki Haley is given pretty good marks as U.N. ambassador. Rex Tillerson generally gets mixed reviews. What's your assessment of the foreign policy team in year one?
Well, I think it's had its struggles, to say the least. I don't think the president and his appointees are as yet fully in control of the national security bureaucracy. I think that's a problem. I think a lot of what he wants to do, what the president wants to do, has not been implemented by his team. It's been slow for a whole variety of reasons, including congressional obstructionism of getting his appointees deep into the bureaucracy, which is absolutely critical. So there remains a lot to do, but I think the president certainly has his sea legs now long since, and understands the nature of dealing with this vast federal bureaucracy, understands the international environment we're in. So I expect 2018 will be a year of considerable activity.
Well, we'll certainly stay on top of it. I know you will as well. Thank you, sir, for your commentary throughout the year, and have a wonderful Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Well, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you, too.
John Bolton served as the U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations in the administration of George W. Bush. He's now with the American Enterprise Institute. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.